Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
To Acts, the 8th chapter. Acts, chapter number 8. And I do feel something on my heart today. And I'm glad to see each one of our guests that is here this morning. We honor you for being with us in the house of the Lord. And we know that the Lord did not bring you here by accident, but we feel that it's by divine appointment that you've stepped in through the doors of this sanctuary and came into God's house today, and that God wants to minister and help you and strengthen you and work in your life. You believe that? Praise the Lord. And if you'll just open up your heart to God and yield and surrender to Him, there's no telling what God could do for you in your life. You know, we before we can receive anything from God, we've got to yield to Him and open up our hearts and surrender to the Lord. Scripture tells us in the book of Revelation that, behold, He stands at the door and knocks. That seems to imply that He's a gentleman and that He's going to allow you to open and welcome Him in. Amen. He's not just going to come barging in or pushing His way in or forcing His way in. But if you desire the Lord and if you're hungry for God, God will move and minister to you in your life today. And that goes for us saints of God. As we walk with God and continue on this journey, we've got to stay open to Him. We've got to stay yielded to Him. That's how the Spirit works. When we open up our hearts to the Spirit of God, it'll move and it'll work. But the flesh and the Spirit are enmity against one another, and I can't have my will and His will at the same time. I've got to commit and submit my heart to His will. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter number 8, and let's begin reading with a familiar story of the evangelist Philip and the Ethiopian in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Behold, a man, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and setting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. The key verse here is 36, and I want you to notice the response of the Ethiopian eunuch when he saw the water and he had heard the preaching of Philip. He said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And I want to preach by the help of the Lord from this subject. What doth hinder? What doth hinder? Praise the Lord. I was praying here in this sanctuary earlier this week, and I felt this old story come back to me and just a stirring in my spirit about this particular story and about these verses of Scripture. And God began to deal with me. I've preached and taught in Bible studies many times about this Scripture, and there's many wonderful and powerful truths that exist in this text. And I believe the Lord is going to help us today in this house to receive what He has in store for us. Would you lift up your hands and your voices along with me and let's pray together. Come on, I want you to help me to pray, church, that the Lord would touch and minister in this place His perfect will. God, we know that every time we convene, every time we gather in Your house, it's more than just an assembly. It's more than just a crowd gathering on a Sunday morning. But God, this is Your church, the church that You died for, shed Your blood for, poured Your Spirit out upon. I'm praying, God, that You would move here this morning. If there would be somebody in this house that is being hindered in some way in their quest to live for You, I pray that You would deal with their hearts. You would stir their souls and that You would give them again an opportunity to get free from all of those things and to serve You. In Jesus' name we pray. And could you give God glory and praise with the fruit of your lips right now? Hallelujah. Come on, put your voice into it. Hallelujah. I said, put your voice into it. He said, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. This story underscores to me again the importance of sensitivity to the Spirit of God. I can never put enough importance or highlight enough how important and imperative it is for us to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Those of us that have the Holy Ghost and walk in the Holy Ghost, it's important in our daily lives that we be open to God speaking to us, God leading us. I think that that's the only way that we can fulfill the true purpose and will of God for our lives is by being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And this great revival that was occurring in Samaria was busting out all over the city. And the Scripture tells us that there was lame folks that were being healed. Lame were walking. The deaf ears were hearing. And people with palsies were being healed of those palsies. Diseases were being healed. And demons were being cast out. And of course, the result of that, and it says it in the Scripture, that great joy filled the city. This was exciting. This was an enthusiastic time for the city of Samaria. A revival was breaking loose. These were people that had not yet been included in the kingdom of God, in the revival that was taking place that had started at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem. But now, because persecution had scattered the disciples abroad, they are moving into cities like Samaria, just like what was prophesied, that it would start there and then move to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And so revival was beginning to spread out from its epicenter in Jerusalem, and people were being filled with this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And the power of God was on display, and great things were happening. And it was in the midst of all of this, it may have seemed like an inopportune time to Philip at first to have this angelic visitation. And the angel gave him instruction to go south into the desert that was called Gaza. And there he would be able to fulfill the will and the purpose of God. In witnessing to this one man, this Ethiopian that was on a pilgrimage, he had been up to Jerusalem and he was making his way back to Ethiopia to report unto the queen. And while he was on his way, he was searching the scripture. I note that Philip did not hesitate. It might not have been convenient. It may not have been exactly what he had wanted to do, because all of us like to be where the excitement is. All of us like to be where there's rejoicing and revival taking place. And we want to be where the miracles are happening. And I'm sure that Philip was no different, that the angel was asking him to go into a desert and leave this city that was in the midst of revival was quite a tall order. But Philip didn't balk. He doesn't hesitate. But the Bible tells us that immediately he obeyed. And he went south, and on his journey down to Gaza, he comes in contact with this man that is in his chariot. And he is reading through the scripture. And Philip poses to him at first what would seem like a very simple and straightforward question. He said, "Do you understand what you are reading? I know that you're searching the scripture and you're looking into the word of God, but do you really understand? Because you're from a different culture, you're from a different place, and maybe this is new to you. I know that you've just been up to Jerusalem, and maybe it was there that he was able to get a hold of some of the parchment in the scripture that he was looking through and searching." And the Ethiopian honestly told him, he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" In other words, I need a preacher. I need somebody to show me the way. I need somebody to teach to me the truth. I'm hungry. I want to know. There's a desire that's in my heart, but I need somebody to lead me on my journey. I need somebody to help me. And the Bible said at that same scripture that he was reading from in the book of Isaiah, where it was talking about a lamb coming dumb before his shears. And what this was a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming and dying at Calvary's cross and shedding his blood for the sins of all humanity. This was the foretelling of that, because Isaiah was the messianic prophet that had foretold these events that were going to take place when Jesus, the Messiah, came to this world robed in flesh. And the Bible says that at that same scripture, he began to preach unto him Jesus. I like what the Message Bible said. It said that Philip grabbed his opportunity. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when people are stirred up, when people are convicted, when people are hungry, when they're searching for something, it's then that you need to take the opportunity. You need to do like Philip and grab the opportunity. Don't let it get away. Because if you know anything about the Spirit of God and the moving of God, you know that it doesn't last always. You know that you've got to go while the window of opportunity is open. You've got to move while God is bidding you to move. You've got to act when God is moving upon you to act. And so Philip, at that same scripture, begins to preach unto him the very simple message of Jesus. He began to tell him about the revelation of Jesus Christ. He began to preach to him about the power of the name. Amen. I'm preaching to you this morning that that is still the soul-saving message that is going to help this world. It's not anything in Eastern religion. It's not anything that we can derive out of philosophy, but it's the name of Jesus that still has the power to deliver, to set free, to make whole, to heal, to put lives back together again. Oh, and let me just stop and preach to you a little while about who Jesus is. He's not the second person in a fictitious Trinity. He's not Jehovah Jr. Amen. But he is God manifest in the flesh. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I know who Jesus is. I'm thankful that I know the power that's in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And some of us have not lost our excitement about that name, our enthusiasm about that name. We're still thankful for that revelation that we understand that when we went down in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible said it this way, that we took on Christ. We took on that name. Therefore, we have the power, just like with our own legal given name, to invoke that name and to use that name. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be badgered by the devil. You don't have to be kicked around by the devil. You shouldn't allow him to condemn you and mock you and push you around, but you should invoke the name of Jesus, because the Bible said at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow, every tongue confess. Hallelujah. There's power in that name. If you're confronting spirits and hindrances in your life, if there's things that have you bound up and restricted, you don't have to remain in that place, but you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus, because there's power in the name of the Lord. Come on, clap your hands if you know that name that I'm talking about. Praise God. Praise God. And Bible says in verse 36, and I think this is interesting, it says, as they went on their way, all of this time Philip is preaching to him and teaching to him from the scripture, as they went on their way. I think that's very important for us to realize what is happening here and what is taking place. As Philip is preaching, revelation is coming. That's why preaching is more than just a speaker up here and a lecture going on. And it's more than just a preacher getting excited over a few scriptures. But there's something that's being communicated in the Spirit. There's something that's taking place. Revelation can come to you. Truth can be imparted to you through the preaching of God's Word. The Bible said that he had chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you've got faith in God's Word, if you've got faith that God is able through his Word to give you direction for your life and to help you, then God can deal with you. He can save you. He can give direction to you through the Word of God being preached. Amen. Sometimes people want something, they want something that goes beyond logic and beyond human reasoning, and they want something miraculous to take place and to happen to convince them that God is speaking. If I could see it written in the clouds of the sky, if I could hear a voice booming out of heaven, then I would believe. I'm going to tell you, the Word of God, when it's preached, is powerful. The Word of God, when it's preached, is meant to be believed. The Word of God, when it's preached, is meant to be accepted. The Word of God, when it's preached, if you do anything, you ought to have an ear that hears the preaching of the Word of God, because that's how God's choosing to speak to you. That's how God's wanting to talk to you. That's how God is wanting to deal with you, is through the preaching of God's Word. And as revelation and understanding came to this man, and he began to grasp what he had not grasped before on his own, as Philip began to preach to him, suddenly things began to turn over in his mind. Wheels began to turn, and things began to snap and click into place. And he realized, hey, I know what the writer was trying to say now. I understand. There's some things that I need to do, because with revelation, you understand this, comes responsibility. Come on, did you get that? When you receive revelation, you have a responsibility at that point to do something with it. When you hear the truth, in other words, you can't just shrug it off and say, well, I'll decide at a later moment, at a later time, because that is a choice within itself. When you put it off, you procrastinate, you have made a choice. You've made a choice to reject what God is trying to do and how he's trying to minister to you. I'm going to tell you, when God again gives you an opportunity, it's meant for you to respond to it immediately. When God moves upon you, it's meant for you to step out and step into God's will at that particular time. Don't put it off. Don't shove it back. Don't say later. Don't say tomorrow. Amen. But now is the day of salvation. And now is the appointed time. Hallelujah. Right now I need to respond to God. Right now I need to be active in what God wants me to do. Right now I need to be obedient. Right now I need to say yes to the Spirit. Right now I need to hear God's voice speaking. And so as they're on this journey, they come by this body of water. And suddenly something smotes the Ethiopian in his heart, and he said, if what you're preaching to me is the truth, and if what you're telling me, and I see it clearly in the Word of God, is the truth, and what you're preaching to me is what I need to do, because evidently, Philip in his preaching had got on the subject of the new birth. He had launched from Isaiah's writings about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming to this world. And he preached his way right out of the Old Testament into this new covenant and began to talk to him about his soul and began to talk to him about the need of being born again. Because when they passed by that body of water, he said, wait just a minute. I don't mean to interrupt. Oh, your preaching is good and I'm learning a lot. But we are in a desert and there's not a whole lot of water out here. And I may not get another opportunity, but see, here is water. And what doth hinder me to be baptized? I'm not going to wait until a later time because I may not have another opportunity. There's all kind of marauders and evil things that are out here in this desert, wild beasts that are out here in this. I may not even make it home. And it's water so scarce, I may not get another opportunity. But while there's the chance, I'm going to respond to what God is doing and how God is stirring my heart at this particular moment. And the Bible said they went down both into the water. That kind of debunks the idea that he got sprinkled, doesn't it? That kind of debunks the idea that he just took a little dip of the water and poured it over his head and said, now you're baptized. This is holy water right here. Amen. They went down both in the water, and he baptized him. He immersed him completely in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sin. But I want to go back to those words that he spoke to Philip. The Ethiopian said, what doth hinder? And I want to ask somebody that question here this morning. What doth hinder? Because hindrances come in all shapes and sizes. And I'm going to preach about some of them today. I'm going to put a name on it. I'm going to identify some of those things that sometimes hinder us. Can I tell you that the people that you love the most can hinder you? That's right. Your family can be a hindrance to you. Oh, I'm going to get right where you're living here this morning. It's awful quiet in here, but that's okay because I'm still in the Bible. I'm still in the Word of God. Family can be so influential in keeping people from really opening up their heart and yielding and surrendering their life to the truth of God's Word. Well, you know, if I accept that preacher, then that means grandma probably isn't saved. That means that my mom and daddy is not in the truth. That means that I've been taught the wrong way by my family all of my life. And a lot of people struggle with that. You know what I say? Let the Word of God be true. Amen. This is what's going to judge me in the end. It's not going to be my grandmother. It's not going to be my grandfather. It's not going to be my mom or my dad. It's not going to be my cousins, my uncles, my aunts. That's not who's going to judge me in the end. But the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there's only one book that's going to judge me. And it's only going to matter whether I've been obedient to that one book. And that is the Word of God. The Bible tells me that this book's going to be open along with the book of the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And this book, I'm going to be measured by this book. This is what I got to line my life up to, is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. James states in Philippians states in 2 and 12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That sounds like it's a pretty serious matter to me. That's not something for me to take lightly. That's important that I weigh it out right. That's important that I be careful and that I be so scrupulous when I read the scripture, when I look and examine the word of God, that I not try to approach it trying to find loopholes and trying to find a way out of it. But I approach it for what it is, the word of God, and just accept the truths that come with the word of God. One of the disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father, because he had asked them to follow him. But Jesus replied to him, he said, follow me, let the dead bury their dead. Amen. Don't worry about all of that. Don't get consumed and caught up with all of that. In other words, was he trying to just be hard-hearted and trying to be the type that was just being so restrictive and so hard as to require something out of them that they couldn't live by or they couldn't do? No. What he was trying to impress upon them is the fact that if you're going to walk with me, you got to forget about the opinions and the traditions and the things that has been pressed upon you by family and everybody else in this world that may have an influence upon you. If you're going to walk with me, you got to be willing to walk away from all of that and serve the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. That's what the Bible says. Elisha, he's doing his dutiful duty. One day plowing, and Scripture tells us that he had twice as many oxen as really what was needed, because most only had a certain amount. But as I studied this, I found out that he had quite a group or several yokes of oxen, and he was plowing behind them, and that's just a monotonous duty. You know, there's not much up and back, and the view doesn't change a whole lot. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes the prophet Elijah and cast his mantle upon him. And when he cast his mantle upon him, the scripture says that immediately he forgot about what he was doing. He forgot about the oxen. He forgot about the plowing. And he began to pursue that prophet and said, hold on just a minute. If you'll let me take care of some things, if you'll let me deal with some things, then I'm going to follow you. And the prophet just kept going. He said, what have I to do with thee? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit upon me. I want to receive an anointing of my own in my life. And so it was that he went, and the Bible says this was his livelihood. No doubt his father was a farmer, and maybe even his grandfather was a farmer. This land that he was plowing had been passed down to him, was an inheritance. That's the way it worked in those times. Farms were just passed down one to another. Work-related things were taught one generation to the next, and now this is passed on to him. He breaks his plow into pieces. He builds a fire with it, and he slays the oxen. And the Bible said that he told his mother and father goodbye and went and followed the prophet in pursuit of that anointing. In other words, he left everything that he was familiar with, everything he was accustomed to, everything that mattered to him up until that point, and he began to follow after God's will for his life. And I'm going to tell you, it hasn't changed today. If you're going to have the will of God and the approval of God in your life, you're going to have to follow after God with all of your heart. You can't leave anything behind. Amen. You got to slay some sacred cows. Amen. You got to be willing to break some things that you have been so accustomed to and are so fixed in your mind and the way that you want it to, and sake, God, it's not about my will, but it's about following after and pursuing your will. I want you to be God of my life. I want to live for you. I want to serve you with all of my heart. Praise God. People of influence in our life that hinder us. You know, I don't seem to stop when people get in the church. It's amazing to me how that people that we deal with, minister to sometimes, they can come out of the world, been in and out of jail, got a rap sheet as long as your arm, got several warrants out for their arrest when they come to the altar, and God began to change their life. And their parents wouldn't even go visit them in jail. Didn't care where they were in the middle of the night. Didn't have any concern for them. But suddenly, they get baptized in Jesus' name. And that joker becomes the most religious person in all the world. And begins to tell them that they're wrong. And what they're following after is not right. And begins to try to convince them that they don't need to be a part of the apostolic church. I'm going to tell you, you need to go with what you felt and what you've experienced and what you know in the Word of God. Again, let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. Is that what the book says? This is what I'm going to trust in, because this is what's going to judge me in the end. Praise God. It's also the traditions of men. Oh, yeah. Religious traditions and philosophies of men. Let me tell you what the Bible said in Colossians 2 and 8. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Amen. Now, you understand that when Paul wrote this, he was in the most religious of all religious areas dealing with some of these things. Some of these folks were pagan, but that's still religion to them. And some he was dealing with in the Galatian church. He was dealing with some such as the Judaizers that was trying to bring these new converts back underneath the law and condemn them with the law and tell them that they needed to practice the law instead of believing upon Jesus Christ. And so he's trying to set the record straight. Don't let the traditions of men or the rudiments of this world or the vain philosophies of this world, don't let that confuse you. Don't let that deceive you. And tradition has deceived a lot of people. I said tradition has deceived a whole lot of people. Because it's made people feel like they're okay in their sin and continuing in their ungodly lifestyle. And they've been able to soothe their conscience because I believe that because I've joined this certain group, or because my mom or my dad told me that I was this, or I've been raised this way, then I'm okay automatically. I'm going to tell you, you're not okay automatically. My Bible says that you've got to be born again for yourself. You can't inherit a relationship with God. God doesn't have any grandchildren or great-grandchildren. He only has first-generation folks in His church. Everybody that comes into the church is born again of water and of spirit, the Bible says. If you get into this, you got into it because you came to an altar and because you repented of your sins and because you said, I need to go to the waters of baptism and be baptized in Jesus' name, and because you got hungry and you sought after the Holy Ghost and God filled you with His Spirit. That's what it is to be born again. Is anybody thankful that you've been set free? Is anybody thankful that you've been born again? Is there anybody in this house that's grateful for this glorious truth? Yeah, I know what some of you apostolics are saying. I've heard that before, but there's people in this house that need to hear it again, and some of you need to get excited about it again, because it's been a long time since you spoke in tongues. It's been a long time since you've been renewed in the Holy Ghost. It's been a long time since you caught fire again. Some of you need to let the excitement and the thrill of being born again wash over your soul again. Trapped in tradition, holding on to something that can't save you, holding on to something that can't help you. Because it's familiar and comfortable. Because it's familiar. Because it's so familiar to me, I'm comfortable with this. I don't want anything. But I'm going to tell you, when you get in trouble, and when your life is spiraling out of control, and when things are going awry, and it looks like there's no hope, that's when you get hungry for more. You realize that that church car didn't help you a lot. You realize the membership down at the First Church of the Frigid Air is not getting it done. You realize, amen, just shaking the preacher's hand is not getting the job done for me. I need a relationship with God. I need more than just the resuscitation of a sinner's prayer. I need God in my life. I need God to change me. But you'll never get a relationship with God holding on to tradition. Acts chapter number 19. John's disciples, they'd heard John preach it, but they didn't really get it. He told them over and over again, I must decrease so that he can increase. But evidently they didn't grasp it, because in Acts 19, when the apostle Paul asked them, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't even heard of it. We didn't know that the Holy Ghost was poured out. Said, unto what was you baptized? He said, unto John's baptism. He said, that's good. That was good for its time. John baptized unto repentance. But he said himself that he that cometh after him is mightier than him. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so you telling me that you made it all the way. This is Acts 19. This ain't Acts chapter 2. This ain't Acts chapter 3. This isn't Acts chapter 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. This is Acts chapter 19. Now, that's quite a span of time that's taking place here from the time of John. But they've missed the miracle ministry of Jesus. They've missed the crucifixion at Calvary. They've missed the day of Pentecost, all because they're holding on to something back over here called John. They're holding on to John's teachings. They're holding on to John. And that was good for its time, but that was no place to stop. I'll tell you, John the Baptist, that's no place to stop. You got to keep going with revelation that he gives to you. You say, well, I don't want to announce anything. That's not what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to accept the truth of God's word in your heart, just like the Bible says. Hallelujah. You say, well, I have repented of my sins. That's great, but that's not a place to stop. That's not a place for you to be hindered. Amen. Go a little further. It just gets better from there. You get those sins remitted in a watery grave of baptism, you're going to feel a whole lot better. Amen. You're going to feel a whole lot better. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you talk about shouting time. You talk about glorious. You talk about awesome. When you get the Holy Ghost, don't stop. Just keep on yielding your heart to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Traditions of men. It's also people's past that hinder them. Yeah. I told you that hindrances come in all shapes and sizes, some bigger than others in people's lives. If you just knew my past, preacher, you'd understand where I'm at and why I'm struggling. In John chapter 8, the scribes and the Pharisees, and I know this scripture makes us uncomfortable because it's so explicit. They brought a lady that was caught, and to their own admission, this says something about them, in the act of adultery. This says something about their heart. While they're looking through windows and doing the things they're doing and judging somebody else, what's in their heart? And so they bring her and throw her down at the feet of Jesus. And because of the condition that they caught her in, no doubt she's scantily dressed and embarrassed and humiliated. Throw her down and say, the law of Moses says that we're to stone her to death. What do you say? trying to trap him in their words or in his words. And the scripture says that Jesus just bent down, didn't say anything, just started writing in the dirt. I don't know what it was he was writing. The scripture doesn't tell us. I've heard a lot of people give supposition on it, but I don't know that anybody knows exactly what it was that he was writing. And then he looked up with those guys with stones in their hand and said, "He that is without sin among you, cast the first stone." Yeah, you got it right. You got the law right. You're quoting the scripture. But you that are without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone. We'll let you go first. And then he just went back down and started writing in the ground again. And suddenly, one by one, you hear the thunk of a stone being dropped to the ground. And I like what the Bible said. It said, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Why starting with the eldest? Because he began to think about all the mistakes and all of the situations of his life. And the longer you live, one man said, the bigger mess you can make. And he began to realize, hey, I've had some troubles, I've had some problems, I've had some mistakes. Starting with the eldest, he said, I might as well drop this. I can't cast the stone. When I think about the things that I've done wrong, when I think about what I have been involved in, when I think about all of my past, I can't hurl a stone at her. And finally, when the last or the youngest one walked off, and there were stones all around her that had not been cast, that had not been thrown in her direction, and she's lying there at the feet of Jesus, he looks at her and said, "Where is your accusers at now?" And she said, "They're not here." He said, "Well, neither do I condemn you. Go your way." Notice what he said. He didn't say continue doing what you've been doing. He said, "Go your way and sin no more." In other words, you get a blank slate from today. You get a fresh start from right now. Amen. You can come to Jesus in this place this morning and have all the hindrance, all the skeletons that are in your closet can be thrown out. You can have a spring cleaning right here on this August Sunday morning. If you just open up your heart and say, "God, I need you to help me to deal with my past. I want to leave the past in the past and go on and walk by the help of the Spirit and go on into my future through the forgiveness of God. I want to change. I don't want to sin any longer. I don't want to be bound by this any longer." See, what the problem is with a lot of us is because we've developed such a habit and a routine and such a lifestyle. And there's a lot of things that are sinful that become a lifestyle. Immorality can become a lifestyle. Yeah, addiction becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a routine that you have to go and pawn everything that you've accumulated to go and buy something to get you high for a little while. Or you have to drive by. It becomes pretty routine. You get on a first name basis with the liquor store owner. It becomes a lifestyle. It's not a one-time deal anymore. It's not just something that you do every once in a while. It's not something that you just fall into. It's an everyday event. It's a lifestyle. And because that's become such a cycle that I believe that only Christ, only the blood of Jesus can break in your life. Only the power of the Holy Ghost can break in your life. You don't have to go back to that. You don't have to repeat the past. You don't have to continue to be that person. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Bible says now, there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's baptism, that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't tell me you don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Don't tell me you don't need this Holy Ghost to successfully live for God. You need it. You need it. You need to be in Christ, and you need to walk by His Spirit. And in doing so, you can be victorious. In doing so, you can put your feet on the things that's been riding you, that's been bogging you down, that's been hindering you in your relationship with God. You can be free from all of that. Not getting much help today, but I'm still preaching the truth. I said I'm not getting much help from folks that know what I'm preaching is the truth, but I'm telling you this morning that what I'm preaching to you is the gospel truth. Amen. That's what's going to save you, that's what's going to deliver you, and that's what's going to set you free. Talk about what we probably need to be talking about here this morning, because I can feel it in this house. Hindrance. Bible calls the devil a hinderer. Yeah. And there's nothing that hinders a person any more than spiritual bondage. We've talked about addiction, and that's not limited to alcohol and drugs and nicotine. That's not limited just to those things that we sometimes are seeing that are so visible. But it could be something on your computer. It can be pornography. It could be a lifestyle that you think is hidden in immorality. That could be the thing that you're bound by and addicted to. People are bound by a spirit of rebellion. People are bound by a spirit of unforgiveness. People can become bound by greed, that money becomes their God. People can become bound by jealousy and envy and malice. People can become bound by vanity and pride. I'm going to tell you, pride keeps a lot of people out of the kingdom. Keeps a lot of people from humbling themselves and being broken at an altar and saying, God, I need you. I need you. I'm wrong. Amen. I repent. I'm sorry for my sin. Can be bound. Spiritual bondage can come in the form of heresy and false doctrine that we've talked a little bit about here this morning. Amen. Because the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. Amen. It can look like it's so right. It can seem so appeasing to the flesh, but it's totally deception that's working through that. And there's a spirit of deception that goes along with it. Being bound spiritually. Spiritual bondage. That's right. And it binds people up, just like it's endeavoring to bind this service up here this morning. Just like it's bound some of your worship up this morning. Just like it's tried to bind some of the freedom of the Spirit up in this service this morning. But I've met that Spirit before. Amen. And I know through the help and the power of God that there's an anointing that destroys the yoke. Amen. The devil can't yoke up a service. The devil can't hinder a service. The devil can't stop a service if there's people that are hungry, if there's people that'll trust God, if there's people that'll go ahead and get beyond their flesh and worship God and say, God, I need you to break through in my life. I need you to help me right now. I'm hungry for you to do a work in me. Amen. I'm hungry for you to do a work in my life and heart. I need you to touch me. I need you, God, through the power of your Spirit to work in me. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when somebody says, you know what? I don't care what my neighbor does, I'm going to praise him. I don't care what somebody down the pew says or thinks, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to glorify him. I am going to lift him up. Amen. I'm going to get me some victory. Come on, you want victory? You want God to touch you? You want God to help you? You want God to strengthen you? You want God to bless you? You want God to fortify your spirit? You want God to have control of your life? You need to rise up and say, I refuse to be bound. Come on, how hungry are you this morning? How much of God do you want this morning? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Come on, do you want a breakthrough in your life? Do you want to remove some hindrances so that you can receive some things from God? Because the only way that you're going to receive it is if you're willing to remove some things. If you're willing to get some things out of the way. If you're willing to die out on an altar. If you're willing to surrender to God and His Spirit. That's the only way that you can have the breakthrough. That's the only way you can get what you need from God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There was a young boy that was bound by a devil. It was a suicidal spirit, if you ask me. Because the Bible says when there was fire, he would throw himself into the fire. And where there was a body of water, he would throw himself into the water. The father took the man, the young boy, to the disciples and said, we got to have a breakthrough. We need deliverance. Can you imagine the desperation of this daddy? My son is all scarred up because of throwing himself into the fire. My son has come near to dying because he throws himself into water. You know how many times we've had to resuscitate him? You know how many times that we've had to drag him out and barely we saved his life. And I brought him to your disciples. He said they couldn't help him. They couldn't deliver him. In other words, I've tried. I've tried. This wasn't somebody that hadn't tried before. This wasn't somebody that hadn't had a desire. This isn't somebody that hadn't went through the motions. He'd done it all. Everything he knew to do. He said, but can you help him? Can you help him? I'm going to tell you, you may have tried a lot of things. Try to get an answer. Try to get a breakthrough. Try to get deliverance. Try to get over to overcome some things. Trying to get victory in some areas. But until you've tried Jesus, amen, until you've tried Jesus, until you've given Him a chance, you need to come down to this altar and give Him a chance. You need to give Him an opportunity. You need to give Him a chance to change some things in your life and work in your heart. Amen. You may have been here or there, and they may have tried in their futile attempts to help you, and it hasn't worked. But there's something in this house that can help you. There's something in this house that can change you. There's something right here in this house that can turn things around for you. I wonder right now if you'd reach over to somebody nearby and let's pray together that the Holy Ghost would fall in this place. That the Holy Ghost would have its way in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabayashotonobo. Come on, let's pray together. Pray fervently. Sister, pray with me. Brother, pray with me. We need to move the Holy Ghost this morning. We need some people to break free this morning. There's some folks that are bound up in this house. Come on, there's some folks that are bound up in this house. But God wants to set you free. Oh, if you know how to pray, I want you right now to pray. Plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, come on, lift up your voice and let's praise Him. Lift up your voice and let's believe Him together right now. Lift up your voice and let's trust God for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rabbi Yashataya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God.